Happy Monday, good people. It is the Monday following night one of the WWE draft. So naturally, today we're talking drafts, signings, and more. That's all part of the Monday edition of WWT Live.
I'm Crush from WOW Women of Wrestling. I'm the gatekeeper of WOW, and you're watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Happy Wednesday to all of the good people under the sound of my voice, or maybe it's Tuesday if you're in Australia, like our good producer who is now our official producer. Yeah. Either way, I hope you guys are well. I'm Gerard. I am the professor, and there is plenty to talk about today, including all of the fallout from the draft, some new signings in both WWE and AEW, and a bit more what we can expect perhaps tonight on the WWE draft. I am not alone, of course. We've got kind of the newest signee, dare I say, to Women's Wrestling Talk. You saw him just a couple of weeks ago here, and we didn't run him away, and that's always good to know. So welcome, Jason, from That Wrestling Podcast. Welcome aboard, good brother. How are you?
I'm trying to figure out, like, which late member of the NWO I am. I'm going Scott Steiner. I think I could be Big Papa Pump of Women's Wrestling Talk, you know?
There it is. There it is. We knight you, Big Papa Pump.
Yes, I'll take it.
Yeah, and we'll also co-sign your math degree as well. So there it is. And, of course, she is the master of all things honey pot predictions, SmackDown watch-along, and more. Wrestling with Honey is in the building. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. Jason, I think it's really funny you mentioned the NWO because look what I'm wearing today.
How about that?
I just randomly picked it, and it's like we're on the same wavelength now. So, yeah, you're definitely up in there. Too sweet, brother. Too sweet.
Yes.
We love to see
you. How you guys doing?
Good. Good. It's been a busy day. How are you?
Good. Good. It's humid. It's a little humid.
Okay. Okay.
Got a little warm, a little rain, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
Able to be loosened up outside. So everybody's outside and now we're inside.
Very good. Very good. How was the weekend?
Weekend was good. Weekend was a little long because it was like, I said it on my Honeypot predictions too, which I just literally like did in like 5 minutes, which I don't know how.
Wow.
But yeah, but I was like, it really sucked having the first night of the draft on Friday because I just couldn't wait for today. It was just like, all right, I got to wait 2 days for this. But,
yeah.
You know, we're here and we just like
here.
That.
We are here. Jason, man, how was your weekend?
Good weekend. I got to take part at the IWC Super Showdown in Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania, which is my hometown.
Nice.
At the ice rink that I would go to when I was a kid. I was kind of just like off the bench to help out for a couple matches on commentary. It was a big deal. We had the Dudley Boys. We had Teddy Long. We had Ron Simmons.
Nice.
We had Elijah, formerly known as Elias.
Nice.
And all of the great IWC wrestling stars. So
that's dope.
You can go check it out. Superstar Showdown 5, and that's on Triller TV or the IWC Wrestling Network.
We love to see it. We love to see it. Very
grinding.
Good.
Love the grind.
Congratulations. I love it. Shout out to everybody hanging in the chat. Cousin Ron, good to see you. Eric, good to see you as well. Matt, always a pleasure. Special little nobodies. Yeah, so the crew is here. And we should have quite the show today. And so we'll start off, of course, with all the talk of the other IWC. And that would be the WWE draft, which kicked off Friday night. On SmackDown, we weren't exactly sure what to expect, but certainly there was a lot of anticipation going into it. And we can just kind of walk through some of the draft picks and then get our thoughts on it. So round one, the number one draft pick is the EST Bianca Belair, which I think is massive. I remember Becky Lynch as the last woman to be drafted number one in the draft, which was a few years ago. So this is certainly a huge statement for Bianca Belair. Equally large statement is the first draft pick for Raw is Jey Uso. I think that's very interesting. We'll get into all of the analysis of this in a little bit. You also see our first pick from NXT being Carmelo Hayes going in round one. I think I said somewhere, I don't know where I said it, that I thought he'd be going first round, which I think is cool. And Seth Rollins rounds out round one. And then we'll talk about this moment. Well, actually, let's do this. Let's talk about this first round. Then we'll get to round two, round three, and round four. But your thoughts, guys, on round one of the draft. Honey, we'll start with you.
I don't know if it was just me, but I mean, I'm sure we're going to get into this as we progress into the other rounds. But it's like, was this really a draft? Or am I being punked here? You know, there's some people that I've seen already on there. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know what? Okay. And, you know, because there's always a reason why. And there's always the continuation of what's going to happen tonight. But Bianca Belair and Jey Uso coming out at number one, it speaks volumes. For sure. And rightfully so, because they have been running it as far as, you know, merch and audience and putting on the show that they need to put on. And it's just, I think it's rightfully so that Bianca is the number one draft pick. I love that it was a woman that was our number one, like the first draft pick, like on the first round. And she's the only one on that round. So that says a lot. And I was very happy to see Carmelo Hayes moving up. I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't think it was going to happen on this night. And considering the treat we got later that evening, I was like, well, okay. Coming in guns blazing, no games, and I'm here for it. And I love that it was actually Cody and Triple H who announced it. And it made for a good segue going right into the night and how it was going to project itself. So I was very pretty impressed with what was going on, but part of me was like, is this a draft?
Jason, what were your thoughts, man, on round one?
You know, I can't remember where I saw it. I don't know if it was on SmackDown or maybe on social media prior to SmackDown beginning, but I swear I heard somebody say, well, it's not about just adding talent to your roster. It's about keeping talent on your roster.
Correct.
Basically, that's what they did. Now, for me, I'm not going to lie. Carmelo Hayes in the first round was a surprise to me. Not that I don't think he's talented. I just was very, very surprised. Now, I believe one of the last first-round NXT guys was Finn Balor a few years back. And, of course, we got a great match with Carmelo and Cody to close out. And honestly, I wanted Carmelo to win. They didn't say if it was for – I don't remember – I don't think it was a title match. I think it was just like an exhibition kind of thing. But, yeah, I would have had Carmelo win. Then that would raise more questions for Cody going into Backlash.
More questions and more crybabies.
Yeah.
Then there is that. Certainly, I think Carmelo Hayes was a strong move for a round one draft pick. It didn't surprise me that he came in as strong as he did. I think I was surprised that they had him in his first match against Cody, because it almost felt like a rock versus a hard place here. Like, what do you do? Do you have this guy who's been drafted in the first round lose in his first match? Do you have the world champion kind of losing his first match as an official SmackDown star? But what I do think happened is I think everybody ended up winning in this one in terms of Carmelo and Cody. You know, most people may not remember, but Carmelo Hayes was actually one of the guys who helped get Cody back into shape after his injury with his pec. So this was kind of a really cool move to be able to have. And it kind of had a similar design to some of the things that happened in NXT, where you'll have a new guy come in, much like Devon Evans did a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, go against the NXT champion Ilya Dragunov as a sign to say, this is where we see this guy in the future. And I think that's definitely what we saw with Carmelo Hayes. So I'm going to speed through the other draft picks so that we can actually talk fully about what we saw in night one. So round two looked like this. Randy Orton and Nia Jax to SmackDown, which Nia Jax, of course, is a move from Raw. Another move, which I thought was interesting, was Bron Breakker to Raw. He, of course, had just gotten signed to SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago. Liv Morgan will remain on Raw. Round three, LA Knight and the Bloodline remain on SmackDown. Ricochet and Sheamus remain on Raw. And on round four, AJ Styles remains on SmackDown. The Alpha Academy remains on Raw. Andrade moves to SmackDown from Raw. And we have Kiana James from NXT moving to Monday Night Raw. What a great graphic this was, and a great interview. We will get into her in a second. But then from here, there were picks that were made out of TV, on the socials. Baron Corbin, who was a free agent, will now be property of SmackDown. Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn will move to Monday Night Raw. Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis remain on SmackDown. Ivar remains on Raw. Then both Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark are drafted and or remain, I should say, on Raw. And then the OC is on SmackDown. So let's get into this conversation here about the draft. I guess my first thoughts are, now that we've looked at everyone who's been drafted, what do you think was the most impactful move of this draft in round one? Jason, we'll start with you.
Carmelo Hayes. You know, not like I said, for me, it was a surprise, but I think this is the beginning of a potential IC run. So he's on SmackDown. So that would be Logan Paul, US title. Yes. Give me Carmelo Hayes and Logan Paul at SummerSlam. I'm here for it.
That would cook.
I love that.
I thought Bron Breakker going to Raw, even though he had literally just signed to SmackDown a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. You know, he ran through somebody last week anyway.
Cedric Alexander.
So I'm glad the NXT guys they got the high shine, and even Kiana James, which they say they don't know, but do you think they really don't know if they're getting drafted or not?
I don't think that they know in some cases. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. Ava, the GM, talked about how loudly she screamed when it happened. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's a surprise to a number of people. I mean, they ran and got her that hat very fast, which is cool. But yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it was just the NXT, advancement of those three talents' careers. And I hope we get more tonight. I really do.
For sure. Honey, your thoughts on the rest of the draft?
The rest of the draft? I honestly didn't even see the OC. That's probably the only one I didn't see. And Shayna Baszler and Zoe. I think those are smart moves. You want to have a strong women's division on the roster, especially on Raw. It's definitely all I see is a bunch of contenders for Becky or future contenders for Liv, you know, and Nia Jax. It's going to be really good. The interesting one, though, and my favorite one, I think, is Baron Corbin going to SmackDown and moving back up. And I could potentially see a title shot for this man. I would like to see that. I'm just putting it out into the universe now, you know, honeypot predictions and all. But I definitely think that I could see Baron Corbin going back into that singles picture finally. I'm glad that they kept them separate from Bron Breakker, because you don't want to revive the whole wolf dog thing. Let it ride out a little bit. Let it rest. I know a lot of people were very big on wolf dogs. I feel like it was just a phase. It's just a short phase for right now. I didn't see it working at first, but you know, when people gravitated towards it, obviously it just made sense to stick with it. You know, there's just things that you just stick with. But they definitely proved themselves as a tag team. I think now it's time for both of them to evolve into their single stardoms. And not that Baron Corbin hadn't had it before, but I want to see a title shot for Corbin, a big one.
There's a lot of talk in this chat, and I want to get to some of it. For one, you might have an enemy, not an enemy. You might have someone opposing you at this point, and that's MDB, who misses the wolf dogs already. Well, of course. And he says it's not just a phase. So, that's interesting. Now, I'll give it to him. He also said that I don't think that people know it's similar to the NFL draft. They might have an idea, but they don't know for sure. Let's see. In terms of Kiana James, which a lot of people have been talking about, Boza says her going to Raw in the last TV pick was the most impactful. I don't think many had Kiana on the radar to be on Raw. I will tell you, I didn't see Kiana James getting picked in night one for sure.
No.
I did not see that. But there are others who did. I think Dylan said that he had her being drafted. So I think that's pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, so this is interesting. Dylan says, Nia Jax, the bloodline, please.
He mentioned that on Friday.
Yeah. That would be something interesting. Boza says, glad Nia's on SmackDown. That's a big loss for Adam Pearce. And it'll be interesting to see how or what he does to replace the presence of a Nia Jax on Monday Night Raw. And so speaking of Monday Night Raw, it kind of lends ourselves to the question in terms of night two of the draft, which is tonight. And I'm just really curious, what kind of moves do you think we see tonight on the draft? I'm going to start here. Who do you think gets drafted from NXT tonight that can go either on Raw or SmackDown? Because obviously both of those are wide open. What other draft picks do you see happening tonight coming from NXT?
I'm thinking about the roster now.
Yes.
like I'm just trying to think of the names just rolling through. Let's see. Why not somebody like Lash Legend going to the main roster?
Wow.
Why not? Solo star.
I want to be clear with my wow. My wow is, I love her right now inside of Metaphor and on the tag team with Jakara Jackson. And that's not saying she couldn't handle on Raw, but that certainly would kind of do something to Metaphor because she's a big part, I think, of Metaphor. But that'd be an interesting pick for sure. Okay.
I think that's somebody that's named that could roll around, or maybe even Lyra Valkyria. Mm-hmm. I could totally see her moving to a main roster call up. I'm not sure where, but she'd be perfect for either or.
Okay. Okay. So Lyra and Lash. Jason, who do you see from NXT getting drafted tonight?
I wouldn't mind seeing the D'Angelo family get drafted.
Okay. Okay.
And factions.
We'll go faction there, but then we'll go singles. Joe Gacy.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
And then the women, because I think she's awesome and she's from Pittsburgh, Thea Hale.
Why not?
These are some very interesting picks. I like these. Yeah. So if we're talking about NXT and we're talking about picks, we got to talk about this guy. He is the mayor of all things Vice City. He is in the building. Sed is here. How are you, sir?
I am solid. My apologies for the tardiness, dealing with some internet issues. You know, we got a big outing tomorrow night. So I'll just say that Natalia's not the only person that knows about the dungeon around here. We're in the lab. We're training. We're training for underground. Vice City is a community where we train together. We get strong. We get stronger for every outing, and we are training for this monumental night tomorrow, where we get on the map again.
We love to see it. So we're asking right now, who do you think from NXT could get drafted tonight?
So the Kiana James drafting was actually very surprising. I think Dylan was the first person to bring it up last week. That surprises me. So it lets me know that there's some people that maybe have been on the cusp for the past year that it's just time. So I agree with some of these names, but I'm going to go. So we know Corbin, Mello, Kiana James. Man, I feel like Fallon.
Okay.
Fallon is a possibility. I feel like there's not much left for her to do NXT, so I'll take Kiana's former tag team partner. But also, I'll go Ilya for sure and Dijak.
Oh my god. Oh my lord. Ilya's definitely going up though.
Yeah.
Actually this iteration of Dijak, he's never been himself on main, correct? He was always T-Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Dijak.
Good old days.
Yeah, I think he would cook. I think he would really, really cook. Let's see what the chat's saying in terms of who from NXT could make their way to Raw or SmackDown tonight. Let's see what we have. Let's see. Boza says he was 50-50 on Kiana, considering NXT is about to launch the North American Championship. She could have been a face in that title picture. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday to the Joe Panther Variety Show.
Happy birthday.
Let's see. So MDB says first pick Axiom. That's interesting. Now, he is still one half of the tag champions. I mean, if that happens, you know, that could all change, of course, tomorrow night with them fighting AOP. Speed Division would be good for him. It would be good. Dylan says Metaphor on Raw. So bring all of them, which I think could be pretty cool. Let's see. MDB says Fallon Henley. And that, I think, also could be interesting. Cousin Ron says Thea has got to be in the running for the North American Championship. That's a possibility as well. Does Vice City and Parkerville get picks? That's great. That's great. Special nobodies. Ilya Dragunov will be drafted tonight for sure. Dragunov is definitely on my list to be drafted tonight. I think Blair Davenport is someone to consider to be drafted tonight. And I, you know, this might be controversial for some, but I think Roxanne Perez, even though she's the NXT Women's Champion, I think after tonight she could find her way on Raw or SmackDown.
Do the rules for the champions in NXT apply the same as Raw and SmackDown, where they're protected?
Does not.
That was my feeling, is that they were protected, because there's no way Trick Williams is draftable right now.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
That's crazy.
Well, so speaking of that, we've got and this is interesting, and I don't know what this means. The available draft pool tonight, these are all of the people who are eligible to be drafted tonight, and of course, NXT stars eligible. I would imagine for sure that Trick Williams would not be under consideration, but I think everybody else could be. And I think that's where things get very, very interesting. So, I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen tonight on this draft. Now, that, of course, was the NXT side. So now that we have this list of people that are up who are eligible to be drafted tonight, who do you think currently from Raw or SmackDown could switch brands?
I have one.
Okay.
And I know who I want. I know this is what I want. I actually want Gunther to go to SmackDown. Give me Gunther and Cody title shot.
Ooh.
Gunther definitely is a big one for me. I would love to see Gunther move to SmackDown. As far as Raw, let's see. Possibly maybe I don't know. Switch Jade from SmackDown back to Raw. In order to replace the Nia Jax thing, or maybe do you want them on the same roster? You know, being that Bianca's on Raw now, does Jade go with her? Are they going to be a team? You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind the transition that quick, even though the same thing kind of happened with Braun. But yeah, Gunther to SmackDown, Jade back to Raw.
Interesting. Jason, who do you think is switching brands tonight?
I'll go Bronson Reed to SmackDown.
Ooh, nice.
Kevin Owens is. I thought Kevin Owens was on Raw, but he's been on SmackDown as of late. So
yeah, he got switched.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll definitely go Bronson to SmackDown. I would love to see Braun Strowman return.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a while, and then I'm just looking at these at the women. Tiffany Stratton, I like her a lot. I really think she could be a champ in the next 12 months, if not sooner. So Tiffany Stratton to Raw, go there.
Switching it back up.
Yeah.
Interesting. Nice. Said.
So just looking at the list of draftables, I feel like the New Day go to SmackDown from Raw. Okay. I think somehow DIY gets separated. I think we've maxed out what we can tell with their story. I don't see any You know, I was going to try to, I don't see any Judgment Day members here. I was going to say Dom is going to get separated somehow, but I guess we save it for another.
Dom is in there. Dom is in there.
Dom. So yeah, okay, I see him now. I think Dom gets separated from Judgment Day. I think Dom gets,
all of Judgment Day is there with the exception of the champ.
I think Dom gets separated, and for whatever reason, they're both hurt right now, but I think you got to have a big splash. I don't think there were any big splashes on Friday. Somehow I feel like the Pride makes their way to Raw. I think they're all a tandem right now. And I think you got to put like Punk or Drew are going to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Got to think Punk.
Punk or Drew or Punk and Drew.
I think you can still tell the story of them hating each other on separate brands and maybe kick it down the road if there's a Survivor Series or Bragging Rights pay-per-view, especially if WrestleMania might get pushed back to May. There's some way to squeeze that in there. So I think you switch them off brands and you continue this like social media beef instead of just having them be on the same brand.
Okay.
Very.
Can I add one more?
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen, but I kind of want it to happen at the same time. I want the Street Profits to be broken up. Hear me out. Hear me out. Everyone's been talking about Montez being the guy and a superstar in waiting. Okay. Have Montez go to Raw. Have him and Bianca be on screen together as heels. And have you guys ever seen the movie Natural Born Killers from like the 80s? It was Woody Harrelson
and Julia Lewis,
Mickey and Mallory.
Great that movie. Great.
So have Bianca and Tez go on this like
Bonnie and Clyde
ass kicking spree and running Monday night.
So I just want to remind us that Bianca, as the number one draft pick, was drafted to SmackDown.
Oh, my bad.
On SmackDown. Yeah.
Well, big three getting broken up. I think it's going to be Naomi that gets drafted to Raw.
So you think?
This is a lot. There's a lot.
There's a lot to process here.
I also have one more possibly. And
the roster's not locked for another week. So after Backlash, so you still can have that triple threat match they're going to have. And Backlash France, but then Naomi is on Raw full time after that.
To piggyback off of what Sed was saying about Judgment Day, I think the person who's going to be the one to split first and leave on his own and do his own thing should be Finn Balor and go to SmackDown. Bring all the Bullet Club leaders, former Bullet Club leaders, to SmackDown title shots. Just give it to me. Blood feud.
This is interesting. There's so much happening over here in this chat. So let's see. So Dylan says we need the big three on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them isn't going because she was the number one draft pick. So there's that. Dylan says that Gunther should be the one to dethrone Cody 6 months down the road.
No.
MDB says Dom gets drafted to SmackDown. Let's see. Boza says Friday was about keeping it safe. They did the picks that were obvious. The pool here tells me there will be some surprises tonight. Who knows how many call-ups from NXT to join tonight? I think we will definitely see some strong call-ups tonight. MDB says Dawkins has been holding Montez back.
Yes.
Let's see. MDB says, Jason, they're not about to break up Destiny's Child for Montez. That's funny. Naomi and Jimmy on different brands. Well, let's talk about Naomi and Jimmy on different brands. Because remember, the bloodline that was drafted was Tama Tonga, Solo, and Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. Jimmy was not drafted as part of the bloodline.
Nope.
So there's that.
If he gets drafted to Raw, you know what time it is, right, guys?
I also wonder if free agency is going to play a role into these injury angles with like people like Punk and Drew, Jimmy legitimately being hurt if they are now withdrawn since they're hurt.
Well, Roman withdrew, and I wonder if we'll see, you know, anybody else withdraw tonight. So
Roman withdrew because he's the tribal chief and he can do that.
He is. He is.
What about Rhea being injured? Has there been any say on what she can or can't do, be drafted, not drafted? I know Rollins is out right now, but I think he just had his surgery. So he'll obviously be back sooner than what Rhea would be. But who's to say, you know,
Or Willie. He had knee surgery. I don't know how soon he'll
be back.
Yeah, it
was his meniscus. Yeah, they said about 6 to 8.
Oh,
okay. I think meniscus can be done in like 3.
Oh, okay. Wow.
3 what? Months or weeks?
3 months. 3 months.
Well, either way, he's a machine for that.
He is a machine.
Dom's injury as well? Is that a thing? Because I saw a video of them walking in tonight for Raw, and he had no cast on.
Well, Dom said he's not going to need surgery, which is good. I don't know if that means he will be able to do in-ring things, but he'll be around. He'll be around. So I think that's it's going to be wild tonight. It's going to be very, very wild tonight. So we will see. Dylan says, wherever Liv was drafted on Friday, that's where Dom goes. Well, that's Monday Night Raw. So we will see. So tonight should be very interesting for the draft. So definitely we'll be on the lookout for all of that. Now, there were some interesting things that we learned on SmackDown. And before we get to that, that's a great slide, by the way. some of the things that we learned about Backlash this Friday. For one, we learned that they're pulling the trigger, folks. We've got a World Tag Team title match, for the women at Backlash. As the champions, the Kabuki Warriors defend against Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Here's just the very quick question. Will they pull the trigger this fast and put the tag titles on Bianca and Jade? Does it happen this Saturday?
Yeah.
I think it should.
Heads are nodding yes.
They've been taking it to the Kabuki Warriors for weeks now and just slaying them like they're nothing. Even Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. So, which I'm sure could lead into that when they do retrieve the tag titles. You know, so I could see that totally happening. Why not? Give it to them.
I think this is more about giving Bianca the accolade of being Grand Slam than anything else. Long overdue, well-deserved, let's get it out of the way. And then eventually, if she does do an NXT stint down the road, she'll get the title she never won as well to become Triple Crown. So I think it's more about that than crowning Jade so early.
No. It's also, I think, about the buildup with the tag team of putting them together. And then later on, you know it's going to go. Because... you know it is. I think we all could see it, like, way ahead.
Well, one thing I don't like is, like, how dominant of a team they appear already. It makes you really question who's going to dethrone. Like, kind of like when Shayna and Nia were tag champions. Just like, well, who do you think is going to actually beat them?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I think, if anything, that lends itself to a lengthy reign. With a lengthy reign, though, I think what's going to be the thing that keeps us coming back is we're seeing a different side of Jade Cargill. We're seeing a much different side. We've never seen the happy-go-lucky Jade Cargill. We've never seen the TikTok dancing Jade Cargill. You know, we've not seen this before. You know, there's this really cool video that's out right now of the big three getting their own pair of sneakers,
right?
That was just incredible. And so... yeah. Watching the genuine chemistry between these three, these are the kinds of things that it you're making more money with them together than apart right now.
Of course.
And so I think they're going to really take full advantage of that, which now lends ourselves to ask this question. Does Naomi also walk away with gold as the big three get shots at championships all at Backlash? What happens here?
I feel like it would be really difficult being that we rooted so hard for Bayley since she won the Royal Rumble. And then for her just to be a placeholder from WrestleMania to Backlash. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bayley is another one who doesn't need a title to be relevant. But it's a little touch and go for me here. Tiffany's not going to get it quite yet. I see her later on down the road. But it could happen, though, Professor. It could happen. You never know.
I've been on Tiffy time since the Lights Out match with Wendy Chu maybe a year ago. You know, Bayley being a transitional champ, I just don't see that happening. I think she retains and then, you know, go from there. And then maybe her and Tiffany have a one-on-one at the next pay-per-view.
Sad.
And if you have that notion,
I can't see a transitional run for Bailey, but if there was ever a person who wouldn't matter, I think Bailey would survive that just fine if this was Tiffany to actually win the title. That's kind of why I'm advocating for Naomi to go to Raw, because I think it would mean more for her to beat somebody like Becky, who we know should be on time off right now. I think you can tell a better story there, because I think we're just patiently waiting for this Tiffany track run. I think it's going to happen a lot sooner than later than people think, too.
Money in the bank, I'm telling you. Tiffy in the bank.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I think and maybe Tiff's time comes at SummerSlam. But I just want to remind you guys of something, and I've just got, well, two words, really, four words. Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal. Randy Orton won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania against a certain Bray Wyatt. Only a month later, at an event, strangely enough, called Backlash, to lose the title to Jinder Mahal. Now, if Randy Orton was a transitional champion, which I never would imagine we would ever say that about Randy Orton, I'm just saying it's not impossible. And I don't think this match is as cut and dry as some might think. I think we can make a case for both Tiffy and Naomi to win gold here. It's definitely not as cut and dry as we think. And honestly, if Bailey were to drop it, I think she'd be comfortable dropping it to either of these two for two very different reasons. So I think we could get surprised on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
That's all I'll say.
Stirring the pot.
Stir it up. That's my job. Then, of course, speaking of Randy Orton, he and Kevin Owens will be taking on Tama Tonga. And I don't know if we call him the new tribal chief, the interim tribal chief. If this were AEW, we could call him the interim tribal chief. But it's Tama Tonga's WWE pay-per-view and technically in-ring debut. How wild is that?
So soon. It's just happening. It's just there. He just showed up. And he's just bum rushing through the doors. I mean, why not? I wouldn't call Solo the new tribal chief. I wouldn't even affiliate tribal chief with him in the same sentence, honestly, because we all know there's only one, but that's just me. Yeah, this makes for an interesting story, only because I guess we're just going to see where this new bloodline continues and how they triumph, possibly. I mean, I kind of think that I'm leaning towards them triumphing against Randy and Kevin, unfortunately. But and there's also Jacob Fatu floating around.
There is.
I think this is where he appears. You know, and the numbers game for the bloodline wins again.
Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a bloodline victory. And, you know, I'm going to say that Solo is the tribal chief because Roman appointed him the heir. So when he says it and Roman's not here, I mean, I know Roman's off doing movies and stuff now and, you know, whatever, but I think that Solo's calling all the shots right now. We see how scared Paul Heyman is.
We do.
He wasn't scared when Roman was there as the tribal chief.
He was also there when Roman did acknowledge him as the next. He was there. So I don't know. Maybe it was just something that he wasn't expecting to happen, and now he's just kind of thrown off because it's not his lovable, loving tribal chief per se. He's a little bit more a savage chief, I'd call him.
Savage is a good word for it. That's a good word for it. Sed, any thoughts on this one?
It's still really early on this storyline. We're getting a lot more talking Solo as he is the kind of tribal chief in training, I will call him. And it's still like he's calling the shots, but there's still this like looming thing that fans want to know is like, is the final boss actually pulling the strings? What's going on? But being that this is in France, I'm pretty sure it was so long ago, but I think Clash of the Castle was where Solo debuted, correct, I believe. So it's natural, but they're trying to like shelter us from this Jacob Fatu debut that we know is going to happen. We're going to see a black hoodie emerge from the crowd. And naturally, we're going to be like, oh, who is it? We're going to see Jacob Fatu. Like, the rinse, and it's going to be the same formula. But the beautiful thing here is Solo finally going to get a goddamn win.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been almost a calendar year here.
It has been almost.
He's finally about to get a win. And I think that's what we should hang our hats on for, whatever this era of the Tribal Chief and training.
Did they ever say what MFT stands for?
Yes, I finally figured it out because I was asking on Honey Smackdown all night. I'm like, can somebody in the chat please help me out here and figure out what MFT is? It MF, the usual MF, Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Tonga. I was gonna go.
I'll go with that one. My friend Tonga. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Got a friend in me.
Well, with that said, one of the big pieces. Speaking of the Tribal Chief and the final boss, and this is just kind of how new things are in WWE. There used to be a moment where you'd find out on a dirt sheet or something if somebody re-signed. Now the final boss tells us, as the final boss announced the re-signing of Drew McIntyre, and it was done on social media with the presentation of Drew McIntyre's beloved sword as they were out to dinner, and it was pretty awesome. Your thoughts on the re-signing? Well, not even so much the re-signing of Drew. I think nobody figured Drew. I mean, we all knew this was going to happen. But what are your thoughts on how this happened? Now we've got The Rock announcing these kinds of signings and Drew saying you were a man of your word.
I feel like, you know, this is awesome. It's a little hard because it's like final boss Rock, and this is also what The Rock does, because we all know Rock can be a class act, and the way it was done was very classy, and it was presented to Drew in a way where he felt important. And Drew should feel that way, because he is a very important piece in a lot of stories that we don't even know to happen until later on. But, you know, with CM Punk, Jey Uso, and how he's building himself up with that, you know what I mean? I think this is just says more about The Rock and where his position is as you know, being on the board. And the way it was done was really, really cool. If I was Drew, I would feel like a kid in a candy store, you know, The Rock and a handwritten card, like a handwritten note, like that doesn't get any classier than that. So I really like that. And it was something special, you know, and it's kind of weird because you see Drew being the bad guy all the time lately, you know, or bad guy, depending on your perspective, if you're on his side or not. But, you know, to see him actually like geek out, you could tell he was giddy inside, geeking out, like The Rock just presented me with a new sword and thanked me and got me and helped me with this deal. And it's The Rock. It's regardless of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, the final boss, however you want to put it, the people's champion, it's all him. And he got it done in such a classy way. And I thought it was awesome.
Absolutely. So what do you think happens next now that we all know that Drew is signed, Jason?
Well, it's funny because I got a text, and the way I read the text was, it said Drew resigned. I read it as Drew resigned. I was like, common sense Drew has been doing everything right this entire calendar year, and now this? Yes. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Resigned, not resigned. Look, I think this is it makes the most sense. You know, he's not going to go to AEW. You know, he's not going to go to TNA. He would be great in New Japan, I bet. But this makes the most sense. And now I would like to see Drew take the title off Priest in a couple months, not right now. You know, let Priest, you know, make a name as the champ. Get him on the Today Show. Get him on, you know, The Voice.
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America. Let him do
the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Yes, let's do that. But look, I don't think anyone actually thought he was going to leave, except for me for a second because I read that text wrong. But I'm glad he's staying. I can't wait to see what's next. And if he's going to start bringing out that sword again, let's go.
Yes. Love the sword.
Woo! Seth, any thoughts on this signing?
I was actually curious if that was like the original sword. Like, why would The Rock have Angela? Does that mean he can like bring it on TV again? That was different, but you can tell how happy he was, surprised. But Matt, I do these things all the time from the Target video and all these things. So it's really classy that he did that for a superstar that's going to resign with the company. I think it's just a ringing endorsement. And I think Drew doubled down when he posted the video of The Rock, I think, getting interviewed by maybe TMZ, saying who got next. And he was like, oh, yeah, I really like Drew McIntyre's look and presentation. And I think just now Drew is starting to connect with the audience in a more genuine way. We're going to see more of that. To double down, I would like to see Drew take the belt off Cody in several months. That's what I would like to see. Just to make this character come full circle with him trying to tell Seth about him joining in that whole feud and stuff like that. I would like to see something like that.
I mean, I think we're all forgetting one thing, though. Before Drew can touch any gold, there's somebody who can stop him again from getting it. The same person that had him lose the gold that he had just retrieved on WrestleMania, and that's Mr. Phil Brooks, CM Punk. So I think we're going to be getting more of CM Punk versus Drew before we get, and once Drew gets him out of the way, then we could proceed with the title shots and opportunities.
I would like to add this small little factoid to the group chat, and that is this. The last person prior to WrestleMania. Oh, no. Yeah. The last person prior to WrestleMania to pin Cody Rhodes was Drew McIntyre. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
Clean.
Story's already written. Now, speaking of signings, this is a big piece of news. And that is the former NWA Women's World Champion, Camille. Many was wondering where she would go. She's been a free agent for a few months now. Many thought she'd be a great fit in WWE, certainly has that look and the like. But it's been announced today that she has now signed with AEW. Oh, sorry. I should not have done that. That was not. That was not.
Ill-timed sigh.
Golly, this is the beauty of live TV. So, okay. The question now is, what do you think this means for Camille? And will the presence of Camille make any difference in AEW's women's division? And I actually have a third question, but I'll wait for that first. So anybody who wants to tackle that. Said, let's start with you on this one.
I think it's funny that we got the news that she signed when it was like, oh yeah, I haven't signed. I've been unsigned since February. And it's like, oh, I thought you meant like a contract signing or not contract signing, but autograph signing session. And then we get the news she signs today. But it's going to make a difference. Let me tell you, like if Mercedes Moné make no difference, this not going to make a difference. Unless you want to see a new character do backstage segments for a month and a half and get some screen time that way, I don't see it making a huge difference. I think it enhances the division as far as depth. But until we start seeing the meaningful storylines, matches that go longer than 15 minutes, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference.
Tony, oh, go ahead, Ani.
No, go ahead, Jason. You're good.
Tony Khan is going to create a Rampage women's title, and there's going to be a tournament for it, and Camille's going to win, and it's not really going to matter anything. But realistically, I think I said when I was here 2 weeks ago, the AEW women's division is stacked. You know, they got Mercedes, they got Deonna, Toni Storm's doing what she's doing, Mariah May, so many others. And you add a great piece like Camille, but what does it matter if they can't get the booking right? You know, she's another one I wish would have went to WWE. Mm-hmm. But obviously now she's AEW, she's All Elite, and she will be the Rampage Women's Champion.
The Rampage Women's Champion. This is fantastic.
Hilarious.
That's fantastic.
That Martha Hart Battle Royal.
A heart-to-heart battle royal. I'm done. You know, it's so funny because I was just thinking, I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like they know exactly what's going on. Did we ever figure out who jumped Mercedes?
We've not heard that yet, unless I missed that part of television.
I haven't heard of it either, but I'm just saying, what if they just throw her in there? Just throw her in there and make her the one that jumped Mercedes. I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess that would be a way to put her in there and just throw her in there. But I don't know if you want to just throw her to the wolves like that, especially being that Mercedes ain't really doing much anyway. So it's up in the air.
But does that make her in with Willow? And Willow is the heel in the story with Mercedes?
Does that put her as part of the House of Black?
She's more likely to be a part of the learning tree under Chris Jericho than
under those things. Professor's about to fall out of his chair.
Take me now.
He's about to fall out of his chair. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's hard to say. But that does raise an interesting point, though, about maybe Willow turning heel. I always said Willow was a little too happy-go-lucky for me, and they should change that a little bit. I don't know.
But, you know, I will say I enjoyed Willow's promo. I thought Willow's promo Wednesday night was a kind of aggression that we needed to see against Mercedes. Now, I just want to say this for clarity's sake. Our reactions, for anybody who's watching or listening, has absolutely nothing to do with Camille.
Right.
Camille is an amazing, amazing wrestler who, again, for over 810 days, held the NWA Women's World Championship. I thought, much like Athena, she put the NWA on her back and really started to carry them, especially after... you know, all that happened with Nick Aldis and, you know, him leaving. And I don't know that the men's championship, the men's world title, necessarily got the kind of prominence that she brought to the women's championship. Honestly, if this is the move, I think put her in Ring of Honor and let her and Athena cook. And Queen Aminata cook. Oh. Let her and Taya Valkyrie cook. Like, I think there are enough women in Ring of Honor that she would be another reason to put behind the paywall that people would go, okay, $9.99, let's pay for this. But I want people to be very clear that the issue does not lie with Camille at all. She's a great signee. She's a great woman's wrestler. But the question lies in, so what happens? Because here's what's crazy. It's crazy to think that AEW created a women's mid-card title before the WWE did. Yet, the WWE has found a way to keep us interested in multiple storylines with women on a regular basis. You know, and so the question now is, there's still the same amount of hours of TV for AEW as there were last week. Adding another woman, and to everyone's point, this week, a marquee match like Thunder Rosa versus Deonna Purrazzo was on Rampage.
Terrible.
Rampage.
That's why they need a women's championship on Rampage. Let's go, Tony Khan.
I actually like that too. I mean
this with all sincerity. Congratulations to Camille. Her being signed to a major company is a big deal. And who knows where this could lead to. I'd like to see in a 2-hour span, what would happen if we had 3 women's matches in AEW? I mean, they do it on NXT all the time.
The For internet explode.
Take note.
You know.
Take note. Hey. I mean, and especially with the way they highlight Ring of Honor women's matches, I could totally see what you said, Professor, because that would probably be the better move for her.
It would be pretty amazing. It'd be pretty amazing. So let's quickly move to this piece of news since we're talking about AEW. Some of you may or may not have been aware that DAZN actually had a partnership with AEW. That partnership originally was supposed to be a multi-year deal in early 2023 that they agreed to. This deal would put AEW in 42 markets across Europe and Asia specifically. And the deal included presenting Dynamite, Rampage, Dark Elevation, Battle of the Belts, and 4 pay-per-views a year. Well, after a year of this agreement, it is over. DAZN has ended their contract with AEW, and their reasoning is underperforming numbers. That's what they said. Now, according to Stephen Mulhausen, who runs the social media side of things for DAZN for wrestling, he said that the decision was made actually on New Year's Eve. So here we are, April, just finding out about this decision that was made New Year's Eve. And this was after, according to them, a number of broadcasts failed in terms of expectations. They said only a handful of events reached the numbers that DAZN wanted. Those events were all in 2023, the first month of Collision, and a couple of episodes of AEW content. Now, it feels like, according to what's being said, the partnership wasn't totally even. And let me explain that. So AEW did what they could in terms of providing talent for interviews that DAZN requested. But it does appear that DAZN didn't really show a lot of interest in promoting AEW. Again, this is according to Stephen Mulhausen, who runs DAZN's wrestling social media. He said, now these are his words, not mine, that DAZN didn't give to AEW 5% of the budget that they actually spend for boxing and MMA. So part of me wonders if the poor performance on this platform was because they didn't get the money to properly promote it on their platform, or was it just that people in Europe and Asia were not interested? We may never know the answer to that. But if you're in Europe and Asia and you were watching AEW on DAZN, you probably have known this since the top of 2024. But we're, you know, just all finding out now this partnership with AEW. And, you know, that's really interesting. So there's that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just have one thing to say to Fake TK for this. No amount of kayfabe could save you. Numbers never lie.
Well, you know, numbers don't lie, but I'm starting to wonder if there's a real thing called bad luck, okay? Mm. And if we're talking about AEW and bad luck, cue Darby Allin.
Oh, my goodness.
Darby Allin, let's go back to Revolution, okay? Darby Allin, in this retirement match with Sting, says, I have a bright idea. I'm going to make sure you never forget this name. So Darby Allin goes to the top of a ladder after he has spread panes of glass and decides to try to leap through one of the Young Bucks. The Young Buck moves. And, of course, full weight, gravity does all that it does. And, yeah. So then from there, he was supposed to take time off to go climb Mount Everest. But before that could happen, he broke his foot. Okay. So he's been out. So he's on his way to a Broadway show in New York City. Obviously still the foot broken. And I guess he thought that, you know, in New York City, buses will actually stop for you. Yeah, honey shaking her head because she's from New York. She knows how this goes. And Darby Allin got hit by a bus.
Oh, Jesus.
And we found this out from Darby Allin. So this isn't like some dirt sheet who said this. Darby Allin posted the picture. That's the picture you're seeing right now for those who are watching.
It was everywhere.
It was crazy. But in true wrestling format, Darby Allin went on with the show. And still went somehow after getting hit by a bus to a Broadway show. I don't know.
There's no method to this madness. You go to the hospital after you've been hit by a bus. I want to know what this show was that you had to be there to see it after you got hit by the bus. I need to know. But my God. Just recover. Just rest and recover, kid. Please.
I mean, I went to Rock of Ages on Broadway, and it was pretty great. So if he was, maybe he, I mean, I love those 80s songs as much as anybody. But, you know, the Darby Allin thing, from that match with Sting, and then I don't know if you guys remember the promo he did on Dynamite.
After, yeah.
Talking about, like, if I don't come back.
Yes, I remember
that. I don't make it. I just and I talked about it on my show with my guys that, like, I feel like that was like the big red flag that before you try to climb Mount Everest, you have to have like a psych exam or a psych eval, you know, because it sounded like he didn't want to live. And I know that's really dark, and I know I'm way off, but just the impression of it, it just sounded like that, you know. And goddamn, this now.
Like, yeah, I just came from seeing the MJ Broadway show, and I knew to make sure to look both ways before I crossed the street, and it was good. But I made sure, you know, keep your wits about you. Please. But dang, man, like, I just can't believe, like, I don't even know what to say to this. I just want the kid to rest and recover. Like, please, fully recover. Don't do anything. Somebody, like, super glue him to a hospital bed and chill out. Or put them on an island and chill out with a good doctor and call it a day, Darby, please, for our sake. Because we do love you and we want to keep you around, brother. Just saying. Well. Please.
Said, would you like to add anything to this Darby Fest?
You can't make it up. I mean, he's a walking episode of Final Destination at this point. So you just would hope that... Maybe they write it in his contract that he can't do certain things. I mean, I know this is a freak accident, but I mean, I'm just, I don't know how you just go on normally after getting hit by a bus. Was it like a large bus? Like what type of bus are we talking about?
There's only one. I don't think we're talking about
I was going to say, it's not a minivan.
It's either a double decker or a single bus. Either way, a bus is a bus is a bus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of metal, big wheels.
Like, what the bus is going to a routine stop? We have 40 miles per hour, 20. Like, I have so many questions.
Well, look at his face. I don't think it was a tap.
No. If I had to guess, maybe the bus was trying to make a light, like, make the light before it could change. And it, I don't know. It was just bad timing. Lord. Get well, Darby.
That's just get well.
Joseph Boza says Darby has 9 lives.
Yeah, clearly.
Just stay inside. Stay at home.
My thought is I want Darby to act like it's 2020 and get quarantined at this point. Just stay inside. Stay inside.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Well, a couple of other things before we get out of here. Very briefly, of course, tomorrow night is NXT Spring Break-In. Night 2, which will be headlined. Did you see the eyes of the mayor? Oh, man, Dylan, please. I hope that you can clip that.
Catch that.
My gosh. That was great. So, yes, Spring Break-In is tomorrow night from NXT. Should be very interesting, given whatever the draft looks like tonight. But obviously, I think there's some big matches. There is the tag team title match with Axiom and Nathan Fraser against AOP. And then there's this match here, which is the NXT Underground match for the first time ever with women. It will have, of course, The Boat, Natalya taking on Lola Vice. Said, I already know what you're going to say, so we're going to save you to last. Jason, what are your thoughts on this this first time ever NXT Underground match?
I love the Underground. I loved it on Raw. I love it on NXT. And, you know, when Lola Vice got signed to WWE, it was when Money in the Bank was in Vegas and I was there. And I actually sat next to her, but I didn't know who she was, but I knew she was somebody. Like, she has star quality in the way she was dressed, and she was the real deal. And she is a former MMA fighter. Mm-hmm. So this is right in her wheelhouse. And I think it would make sense for her to get the win, but Natty, I like Natty in NXT, you know, that veteran leadership and just this whole feud. And Now there's a Shayna Baszler addition to this storyline. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, I've been an Underground fan since day one.
Honey.
Yeah, I like this. I really, really like this. I'm looking forward to seeing this match, especially only because both of these ladies, no matter which way you slice it, they both got their work cut out for them. You have the queen of the dungeon, and then you have the queen of MMA. So bring it, bring it, bring it. Give everything you got and show us what you got. Lola, this is going to be a great showcasing for her, for sure. And I love that she has Shayna Baszler behind her, being that she was also a former tag with Natalya in some cases, which makes it a very interesting story going forward. It also makes me wonder if our Queen of Spades is going to be staying and keeping residency in NXT, because I really would love that. I love my Queen of Spades, and I know there wasn't much going on for her at the main roster, but I'm tired of her in these pointless tag teams, you know. So I think this is also a cool segue into recreating that run for her, possibly.
Well, just in time for Seth to make his profound statement, which I know it shall be, the boss lady's here.
Hey,
boss lady, how are you?
Man, we'll see after this statement from Sed. What's going on?
Sed, the floor is yours to talk about this big match tomorrow night between Natty and Lola Vice.
Well, now I gotta scale it back some. I don't want to. I feel like I'm being censored now. That TK.
What? Oh, gosh.
But I'm gonna make it very simple. The boat, sure. I'm glad Jason said what he said. I'm glad Natty has two fans now. If you did date back to the last show, not many people are rooting for Natty. This is our time. And I'm glad that Underground has found a home in NXT since those very poorly ran Raw segments a few years ago. This could be Lola's staple match. Like I said, I predict bloodshed. I predict passing out. I predict a sharpshooter to Natty that she will not get up from. It's going to be a statement win. And maybe, and like, I'll piggyback off what Honey said. I think Shayna will stay back, and maybe you get a tag team match with Carmen and Natty versus Lola and Shayna at some point, just to further along the MMA stuff. But I think you'll finally see her flex her MMA chops a little bit more. You'll see some more mat wrestling, more subs, and I think you'll really see the best of Lola Vice. I'm very happy that she's finally getting this presentation. But yeah, we come to smash. You come to smash, Natty. It's not going to be pretty, and I'm here for it.
TK,
I don't even know. Like, I mean, it's very. I mean, obviously, I know. You know, Seth is what, the mayor of Vice City.
He is the mayor.
The mayor of Vice. So only natural that he would, you know, support. Lola. I don't know what should be. If you're the mayor of Vice City, was Lola? Is she like a constituent or
resident?
A resident of her own city? I don't know. I don't know how that works out.
She's quite clearly the queen. She's the queen of Vice City. I'm just an employee. Like,
Seth's about to pound the streets.
This is.
No, I think this is great. I mean, obviously we've seen Natty. This is kind of her role now, and she seems to love doing it as far as helping younger talent. She has the dungeon out in Florida. I think this is going to be a great match, but I also feel like this is going to be one of many. I think it's going to be like the best of three, meaning that it gives Natty something to do. Especially now we're going into, talk about the offline, especially since we're going into Vegas with Battleground and stuff like that. I don't think it's by accident, especially obviously with Lola having her MMA background. So I think it's going to be a good match. I don't know if it's going to be a clean win. I think some shenanigans may happen, which will cause it to be another match. Because I love what I'm seeing on social media, the little bit that I do get to see as far as Twitter and people who are, I guess, other Vice City residents and people who are Team Natty. So, I think nonetheless, it's going to be a great, great match. And also, wait. No, okay, that's another thing. All right, cool. It's going to be a great one.
Oh, all right.
I just want to call them real quick. She said Team Natty. That's an absolute lie. There are no Team Natties. It doesn't exist.
What? Well, first off, she's a Canadian, so there's always going to be Team Natty. Oh, now I remember what I said. We also have an announcement. Sid said you couldn't get it done. We have an NXT show debuting on Wednesday morning that you can check out.
Nice.
Oh.
That got real. But I don't even know what to say.
Boy, wow. Go, So our last piece of news before we get out of here. For one, Monday Night Raw tonight, we've got Logan Paul making an unusual Raw appearance as he is the U.S. champion, but he'll be on Raw tonight. We'll also see a six-man tag. If this were AEW, it would be a trios match, the Judgment Day. Taking on Jey Uso, Ricochet, and Andrade. I really like this team, actually. I like this team an awful lot. And then the last piece of news, which I think will also be cool news, Shad Gaspard, who, of course, many know and love, former half of the team Crime Time, passed away a few years back. There was a special Memorial Cup tournament done in his honor. And it will debut tomorrow night on Triller TV at 7 p.m. Eastern. Some of the participants in this tournament include Kenny King, which I think should be very, very interesting. JTG, Tom Latimer from the NWA as well, and several others. So it should be a really, really good tournament. Again, make sure you guys check it out. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern on Triller TV. And I guess it's good to mention this now. Yours truly is doing commentary for this show. So you guys make sure you check that out. Again, that's tomorrow night on Triller TV, the Shad Gaspard Memorial Cup Tournament, a very, very special time to honor Shad Gaspard. All right, with that said, let's get out of here. I don't even, Jason, let's start with you because I feel like this is going to be really interesting. Jason.
Yes, sir.
How can we find you on the socials, sir? And all the good things that you have going on.
Like, what did I walk into? I thought this was...
you can check out my show, That Wrestling Podcast, me and three of my friends I've been friends with for over 20 years. It's just like you and your friends talking about wrestling. Except I have a soundboard with a lot of fun sound effects that TK knows about. And then anytime we talk about AEW, we have a character by the name
of Coney Ton that shows up and he defends anything that happens at AEW.
You know, so Tony
Ton is happening right now.
And like I said, it's just what me and my friends do. We have fun. It's every Friday morning. It comes out on audio and on our YouTube channel. My socials, X, Instagram, and YouTube, of course, the JM Business. Thanks for having me again, guys. I'm glad to be part of the team. TK, I proclaim myself the Scott Steiner of the NWO of the Women's Wrestling Talk. Please just don't make me like Disco Inferno or, you know.
With everybody... Look, he's Free Kingdom right here.
You may be regretting bringing me aboard now, I think. So hopefully not.
Said?
Can you guys hear me? My connection's kind of spotty. Okay, we're closing out?
Yes.
I don't know. My connection is very weird. You can find me on Twitter at says the CWD_SAYS on the gram. That's the answer. I write for Daily DDT as well as do content for this platform. I saw the hashtag blame Jacob DeLawrence. You're absolutely right. I have to go back and check the confines of my contract because I feel like TK is the Shawn Michaels here letting me know about an NXT show that I am not a part of. But we will discuss that on another time. And I saw Hill TK trending as well. So we got to get that trending as well. Hill Real TK.
I cannot do.
Oh, boy. Honey.
You could find me here with my peeps on WWT Live every Monday, Wednesday, and finally back on Friday, starting this Friday all over again. And follow me on TikTok Wrestling with Honey, Instagram Wrestling with Honey, Facebook Wrestling W Honey, and the Wrestling with Honey podcast YouTube. Like and subscribe to that. Also, I will be coming out with my, it's in the works right now, my review of Becky's book, which is going to be happening real soon. And check out my honey pop predictions.
Her book, though?
Yes, right?
I listened to the audiobook. I think I said that before her book came out. I'm really glad she has the audiobook. She's reading it. And I'm pretty sure there's stuff that's in the audiobook that's not in the book. Her book is amazing. You should definitely check it out. If you don't have time to actually read it, the audiobook is on Spotify. So if you have a Spotify account, you can actually get it on Spotify. Yes.
Dope.
Really, really, really great. But some tea that I didn't even know. Like, I mean, girl. I try not to be in people's business like that. But she gave me some tea. I'm like, damn. She was saying a lot.
And I love it. So I can't wait to review it. Maybe I'll talk to the boss lady. We can do that together.
Yeah. Great book.
So check it out. Well, I still never feel right about closing a show with the boss lady here. So you can find me on all the spaces at Bonafide, and you can check out my commentary work, of course, with Southern Honor Wrestling and IWE. That's on IWTV. We just dropped a show from Southern Honor last week, so definitely check that out. And I've got another show with them coming up this Friday. You can also check out my work with the Nightmare Factory on their YouTube page, Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling as well, and of course, All Caribbean Wrestling. We've got some great things that are on their YouTube page, which you can check out, including some great matches from Philly Mania, which you guys are going to definitely want to check out. And again, another reminder, Ashe Wrestling, you can check that out. All the things that are going on with Ashe at AsheWrestling.com. And again, tomorrow night, I will be on the call for the Shad Gaspard Memorial Cup Tournament, airing exclusively on Triller TV tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. So you'll definitely want to check that out. And of course, I'm here in various and sundry places all around all things women's wrestling talk.
Yeah, we got a lot of shows. We have an ROH show. We have an NXT show. We have a SmackDown show, Deep Dive as well. Honey does a SmackDown watch-along show. Like, where have you been, Zed? Like, she's been doing it for like 2 months now.
I think he was referencing that for the NXT show.
Oh, well, we can
I find it very interesting how Lola Vice and I have oppressors that are Canadian. I find that very interesting.
Stop it.
Don't see the correlation here?
Wow. Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Anyway, we have a lot going on, as well as we're going to international this summer. WWT staff is going to be all over. We do an international. You're going to see us doing big things internationally. It's going to be amazing. So definitely check that out. You can follow me everywhere on everything at TK Trinidad. I don't really be posting. You can follow my dog. She'd be posting every day. you can check all of that out at TK Trinidad. Other than that, thank you guys so much for rocking with us, especially like I love seeing y'all in the chat. I just pop on y'all there. I love it. So thank you for watching Rocking with Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao, y'all.
I am La Princesa Tiffany Nieves, and you're watching Women's Wrestling Talk. And get it? Got it? Bueno.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.